It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Veggie planting schemes. It sounds devious, like your zucchini is plotting to grow out of control or something, but I hear you have ways to maximize production with veggie planting schemes.
Yes, planting schemes doesn't sound as ominous as it may appear. It's really all about planning your garden out now, your veggie, flower, and herb garden especially. While the snow is still on the ground, while you have time, you know, make a little sketch. I'm always a big proponent of raised beds, so put your raised beds in there if you have them. And then when you actually are planting the veggies, flowers, and herbs, there's different ways to do it. So the traditional way is to grow in rows. And rows is great if you're a farmer or if you have a plow with a horse or a cow pulling it or a tractor or something like that. That's really why we have straight rows, so that they can till it, plant it, and harvest it easier. In a home garden, especially in a raised bed, you don't need to do straight rows. You're actually losing a lot of space, planting space. A better idea is to do blocks or to do broadcast seeding, and this works really well with root crops, carrots, beets, for example, and radishes, and with any of the leafy greens. And instead of planting in rows, you just sprinkle the seed on the top, cover it over with some either potting soil or some compost, and then let it come up. And this kind of leads me into the third one, which is called polyculture, which encompasses interplanting and succession planting. So, for example, with succession planting, if you did that technique, say you did it with arugula, and you have a little block, maybe a foot diameter block on your raised bed of arugula, every couple weeks, plant more seed. As you keep doing that, you're going to stagger the planting and stagger the production all summer long. That way you won't get inundated with arugula, if you could ever become inundated with arugula. And interplanting is the idea of using a warm season and a cool season crop together. So if you have tomatoes, in between those tomatoes, you plant lettuces and spinach and Swiss chard, that kind of thing. You can also do this in the sense of nutrient sharing, where you have peas with lettuce and greens growing next to it. So the peas feed the lettuce grows up. So there's a lot of more creative ways to do your garden than the straight row.
Question time. This next one from Lynette from Greensboro Bend. Lynette says, "Hi, Charlie. I have several thoughts on wet area plants, which I grow in Greensboro Bend, our sweet coltsfoot with white-pink fragrant flower spikes and palmate leaves." Lynette says, "It grows in a nice clump and it's never sprawled out like the regional, very early yellow dandelion-like flowering variety, which has taken over a large area under trees in a wet area on the land. More likely is Indian rhubarb, whose leaves form a bird bath. I haven't seen mine flower yet, but photos show a tall stalk with small pink flowers, a great plant for moist and wet places."
Lynette, that's a great idea. And I know Pedicites, the yellow-flowered one she's talking about, because it is a big tropical-looking plant that grows well in a wet, dark area, but it can become very aggressive. So it's good that she's found an alternative to that that could fill that niche and not take over.
And next question comes from James in Walcott. And James says, "Dear Charlie, we heat our house partially with wood and empty the wood stove ashes every week or two. I've heard that ashes can be good for some vegetables and flower gardens, but not for all. I'm looking for your suggestions on the best places to distribute those ashes in our gardens. We have a large veggie garden, a number of perennial flower beds, as well as lilacs, fruit trees, and evergreens in our yard. Which plants would benefit from the ashes, and which ones should we avoid?"
Well, James, that's great you're going to use the wood ashes. You do have to keep a couple things in mind. Wood ashes are high in potassium, so if you do a soil test and you find you already have high potassium levels in your soil, you probably don't want to use too much in those areas. The same thing with pH. Wood ash tends to raise the pH, so keep it away from the evergreens. Keep it away from the blueberries, for example, and put it on plants that like a higher pH, like asparagus. So in general, once you figure out what the pH and the nutrients are in the soil, you can spread about a 5-gallon pail per 1,000 square feet of wood ashes, and that's kind of a nice general rule of thumb, spreading it around. I spread it around our fruit trees. I spread it around berry bushes other than blueberries. I spread it around asparagus and even on the raised beds once in a while. So it's a good nutrient to use. You just have to be a little careful with it.
Okay. We love reading your questions and comments, so please send them. Visit vpr.org and search All Things Gardening. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And next week, if you have questions about raised beds, what's not working, let us know. I'll answer them then. Until then, I'll see you in the garden.